Welcome to Rewatchable number 34 for Veronica Mars. Today we're discussing episodes 13, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, and 14, Versatile Toppings. I'm Danielle, and with me I have Mitch, Caitlin, and Marima. Hello, everybody. How are you doing today?
Oh, hey. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Yes. I ate a lot of turkey.
Yes, so much.
Yay, Thanksgiving.
Not celebrated in my country, says Marima.
Yeah, hope everyone else had a good Thursday.
Right, I had a lovely Thursday. Thanks for asking.
Good. I'm glad.
Do you guys watch like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade just for like the pop culture element of it?
No, I gave up on that like years ago, I think.
Yeah.
I was at someone else's house, so couldn't.
Well, I was asking Marima, like, anywhere, like...
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
I guess not. It's just the largest Thanksgiving parade in the world.
Yeah, so when I said we don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I mean, like, we just are not even aware that it's on or that it's happening or anything to do with
funny.
It.
It's
funny. It's like as far as Australians are concerned, Thanksgiving is just, like, a thing where you go and argue with your family and, like, eat a lot of food and then say, thanks for food, and then that's
yep.
it.
Yep.
Is that pretty close. What happens? Yeah.
It's pretty close, yeah.
You've got it, literally. That's
yeah,
it.
Pretty much.
A lot of people, it's just a milestone so you can get to Christmas.
Yeah, and you basically, the big deal is that you go shopping now on Black Friday, but after Thanksgiving, so yeah. It doesn't even, yeah, you don't even wait. And yeah.
Doors open at 6 p.m.
Seriously. So it's like, as soon as you're done eating dinner, you're supposed to go shop. It's a weird holiday. You didn't miss out on too much, Marima. I'm telling you that.
Yeah, I'm feeling okay about it.
Good. All right, so we have these two episodes today from season two. They're more kind of filler, I feel, rather than really informational, really with like the larger themes. So we'll be able to get to them pretty quickly today. So let's get started. Episode 13, again, the title was Ain't No Mountain High Enough, and here's a quick synopsis for you. Neptune High seniors put on a fair to raise money for their senior trip. The O-Niners want to go to Catalina Island, while Weevil and Veronica, and I'm assuming some of like the not O-Niners, want to go to Magic Mountain. Keith is hired by Terrence Cook to prove that he's innocent in the bus crash, but it takes Keith a while to get Terrence to reveal his secrets. The cash box at the carnival is stolen, and Mrs. Hauser points the blame at Jackie, who's humiliated in the dunk tank. Veronica solves the case and points to Mrs. Hauser as the real thief, while Weevil uses his cute niece, Ophelia, to plant drugs in Thumper's locker, where Veronica finds a paddle riddled with numbers. Logan meets Hannah, who turns out to be Mr. Griffith's daughter, and flirts, even giving her her first kiss, while Cassidy and Mac have their first date at the carnival, and that's kind of broken up a little bit when Dick is a meanie. They get him back, however, by arranging for a transgendered prostitute to seduce him, and then Dick is just angry. So, real deep stuff on this one, I feel.
Ships everywhere. This is like the ship episode.
Yeah. So, let's start with talking about Jackie. Have your feelings about Jackie changed at all during the course of the season, or are you still kind of not a fan? Anybody?
Caitlin, I think that you and I were the biggest proponents for hating her before, weren't we?
Yeah. I just, like... They came on way too strong with her initial introduction and being awful. Like, if they had toned her initial introduction down, I would probably like her a lot more, but I just can't get that first introduction out of my head. And I'm like, I can tell that I'm supposed to like you, but you just rub me the wrong way.
Yeah, it wasn't like a Logan, when he's a jerk kind of way, when you feel like, yeah, you know you're supposed to like him and he's the, I don't know, like, jerk with a hidden dark past that's going to make you like him. With Jackie, it's kind of just like we didn't get even a chance to see you being cute, adorable, fun, or anything. You just were kind of bitchy from day one.
I like Jackie more now, though. I mean, oh, yeah. I wasn't on those episodes, but in my like rewatchable running commentaries, I was watching them. I was definitely like, I want to set Jackie on fire. She's the worst. But
that was funny.
So I just agree with Caitlin. I think they kind of just messed up her introduction and they made it really difficult for people to like her. And I think that was kind of the point at the start. But yeah, I mean, I feel bad for her now. I think since they've kind of toned her down, she's fine. I don't particularly care one way or the other about her. But obviously in her current circumstances, we are meant to feel more sympathetic towards her.
Totally. I think it was that scene with her father where she was just completely and utterly miserable to him, and he was just so sweet, nice, and caring back to her up until he had a snap because, you know, his daughter was being such a brat. That's what made me not like her. I was like, you know what? If you're going to treat such a nice person like that, I didn't want to know how you're going to treat people like my Wallace.
Right. She was a brat. That's totally, that's completely like the right description. That was basically all she was. She didn't have any other characteristics. And I feel like they've fleshed her out a bit more now. So whatever.
Yeah. The bathing suit really fleshed her out too. Just the sound.
Sorry.
Just putting her like in a vulnerable position made it feel like we were seeing a side that we desperately needed to start liking her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here in the doc that Gabriella put together for us, she kind of threw in a point that I think is a little bit interesting. She was asking if Jackie kind of reminds us of Veronica during the first season. I can see some parallels, but I mean, between like her hardened shell and being kind of cast out a little bit. I don't know. What do you think about this question?
I don't see it at all.
No, me neither.
Okay.
I can kind of see it. Yeah.
How so?
I mean, it's, well, because I'm assuming that, who made this?
This one was Gabrielle.
Yeah, so I'm assuming Gabrielle means like, as in they're both outsiders. And, you know, their treatment by the student population, which I think is a fairly accurate parallel between the two of them. Like, Veronica was, like, ostracized in the first season from all of her classmates. And they were both kind of, I guess, very proud characters. So they were trying to show that it didn't bother them. Like, and that was what was being shown in this episode when Jackie kept getting back on that thing to be dunked again. So, you know, trying to prove that they don't care. But, I mean, I feel like I can see that, obviously for very different reasons, but in that way, yeah. Like, similar, a similar arc in that way for both of them.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you convinced me, actually. I didn't see that before.
Well, you're welcome.
Because we talked about, you know, Meg being, like, old Veronica, so I was kind of thinking of parallels and personality and, like, but
oh no, not in personality,
but in behavior of the student body. Yes, I do see that.
Yeah, and even treatment from other people, which serves as a little bit of a nice segue. Like, Veronica was always blamed for things in the first season. I feel like she was always called upon and jailed or whatever. And Mrs. Hauser is constantly trying to pin things on Jackie when she was actually the guilty one. What did you think about her, I guess, desperation to steal that money, or just like the arc of this series, or the mystery of the week in general?
Well, it was cute because it made it that Veronica was right, and for her to be right in a very precarious situation made me happy, because I feel like she's not, she usually doesn't get that satisfaction right away. And I'm thinking back to, of course, in season one, where it took everyone so long to realize that her father had good reason to be suspicious of, you know, Duncan's parents. So now she's able to look at a criminal activity and pick it out and be right about it. And we don't have to sit around in misery as one of her friends or, you know, herself is ostracized. So that was nice to see her, like, you know, get on the good side of the now principal, not vice principal, and do it in such a quick fashion. I was like, yeah, got it, done, check.
Yeah, I think my favorite part about it was, I mean, Mrs. Hauser sucks. I think we can all agree about that.
Oh, yeah.
But totally. I think my favorite part was that the principal didn't turn to Veronica immediately, even though she did. So, like Mitch said, you know, he kind of gave her a chance to show what she knew and solve the case. But I like that they kind of have a bit of a truce now. And I think that makes for a more interesting relationship, because it was getting a bit old with him being like, Veronica Buzz, you know, come to my office every second week. And I know they had that episode a couple of weeks ago when he becomes principal, and I liked seeing it in action here, because it could have been very easy for them to go back to that original dynamic between the two with, you know, him being the bad guy and her being like, but I didn't do it, and trying to clear her name. So this was cool that they twisted it in this way, and it became between, like, Mrs. Hauser and Jackie were, like, the principal and Veronica, and then those two characters who we've had for longer have kind of grown. So that was nice to see, I think.
Yeah, maybe he feels some kind of debt toward Veronica for doing the dirty work for him and making him the, you know, successor to Principal.
Well, I don't know if he feels a debt, but I think that entire episode where he became Principal shows that he's a pretty intelligent character. And even though at the start he was kind of portrayed as this sort of bumbling, you know, typical vice president, a bit foolish, he is, yeah, he's like smart enough to realize that, okay, this probably wasn't Veronica, but Veronica is probably our best bet to find out who it was. So mm-hmm. I like that. I like that he's kind of a, yeah, smarter guy, even though maybe not on first appearances.
Yeah, and I like that he respects her abilities. Like, he knows what she can do, and he doesn't doubt it just because of her age, I guess.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
In terms of the case itself, I liked the kind of continuity of how Mrs. Hauser had been established as the single mother and then struggling with money, and then she stole money.
Yeah, wasn't she in the episode where, for health class, right, she was she recently divorced and she was really bitter? Or was that just a completely different teacher?
No, I think that was her. And she was also, I believe, in the babysitting episode as well. The one where we find out about Meg's parents being abusive. Yes. Veronica tries to babysit her child.
Yes. Okay. So, and yeah, we like have had a little bit of a...
Yes.
We have had a pretty decent buildup for this character. And to have her actually mean something is cool. It reminds me of the Max storyline, which is probably a great transition.
Sure. We can go to Mac right now. Cassidy and Mac. Yay or nay?
Yay.
They were so cute.
Oh, I don't like it.
Mm. No?
No. No, I really like Mac and I really don't like Cassidy. So, I don't know why. Cassidy's kind of slimy to me. Like, oh, I don't know, he creeps me out. I feel like, yeah, there's something weird going on with that kid. He's all like with his business and just being a creep. I don't get it. So, yeah.
But he's not his brother, so there's that.
No, but I feel like his brother is way more upfront about what he is. Like, you know what you're getting with him. Whereas with Cassidy, I feel like I don't know what his character is about at all. He's a lot more complex.
Hmm, yeah. Because he started that business. That's why he's complex. That scene where he was with Mrs. Casablancas and he had her co-sign to, I don't even know, like be like the adult in that partnership, that really threw me off. I was like, what are you planning on doing with that money? You seem like you're doing something criminal and more than just being an underage child, you know, running a business. I feel like you're raising money to do something bad.
Yeah,
I smell something
agree
fishy,
with that.
Right?
Right.
Because why does he have that drive to do that? He has all the money in the world from his father's estate. He's fine.
Yeah, well, I understand why he wants to do the business thing. I can't remember if it was in this episode or the next episode where she's like, you know, is everything's in my name, isn't it? Thinking, you know, that means that she has one over him. And he's like, yeah, it is in your name. And, you know, it's basically the equivalent of him, like, giving a huge wink at the camera, being like, see, guys, it's all in her name. That's going to mean something later. So... I don't know. I've got my eye on this kid. I don't like him. I haven't liked him from the start. So.
But this is also the kid that had the opportunity to take advantage of Veronica at that party, and he didn't.
Yeah, but that doesn't really redeem him to me, because that's just normal human behavior. Like, I don't feel like that's him going above and beyond.
Compared to the people he was with, that was definitely going above and beyond.
He didn't rape her. Like, cool, what a good guy. No, that's ridiculous.
Well, teenage boy, peer pressure, hormones, drinking, whatever, and then... he didn't. So, I mean, that's a strike for me, at least on the good side.
Well, you know what? Maybe he just looked like he was a lot better because of the poor company he was with. But I agree with Marma that that's something that just a decent human being should do. Choose not to rape someone. Plain and simple, you know?
No kidding. Yeah.
Well, I think if he were really that sleazy, he would have.
Right, right. That does prove that he's nice, but it doesn't prove he's extremely nice. It just proves that he's kind of normal.
I just think like that is him not being super sleazy.
Yeah, yeah. Not very
sleazy. He had the opportunity to be sleazy and didn't take it.
He's not quite the not as big of a jerk as he could have been character, but he could be if he does something evil. Because it's like, oh, you didn't rape Veronica, but you had an evil, devious plan by making this business with Mrs. Casablancas. So there's something going on. That's why, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be unveiled, and I'm hoping that everyone listening in is like, yes, the newbies are right. They've got it.
You're so everyone will be laughing at us.
I'm very suspicious of Cassidy, because I think Marma brought up a good point.
I don't find it suspicious.
That he did do that wink toward the camera, and I don't remember where either, but I know he does that, and just like,
it was in the elevator. Yeah, I don't know when that was. But I just think, like, Cassidy is definitely an intelligent character, and I think they have, I mean, this is just from like a kind of pragmatic point of view, but they have built his character up a lot. And I don't think they've built his character up just so he can date Mac. You know what I mean? So yeah. There's definitely something else going on with him. And I like Mac a lot. And yeah, I don't know. I just don't like it. I'm not a big like shipping fan anyway, but yeah, I wasn't really into that relationship. Back to the original question.
Well, I think he's also been built up to be a foil to his brother. So.
Yeah, but I don't think his brother is that important. I mean, in the show, I feel like his brother is mainly there to be Logan's bro, you know? But he doesn't really have any other point except for, like, comic relief at points and, you know, Veronica needs something done at points. But
yeah, he's definitely a means to an end.
Well, I mean, personality-wise, he's there to be the foil. And so even if his story is more important than his brothers, we're supposed to see the difference in how these two brothers are personality wise.
Oh, I agree with Caitlin about, you know, him being the foil, but I still don't like him.
So did you cheer, or did you think Cassidy's moves against Dick, sending him a transgender prostitute, was kind of slimy?
Yeah, I thought it was a bit.
Did you like it?
Well, it was funny, but yeah, I thought that's okay. That is exactly what I mean. He is, you know, he could have just done some like high school whatever thing, but instead he like, yeah, that's quite an intelligent way to get back at him, and that's quite, he's thought that through, that like little revenge plan. And yeah, I mean, I know it was funny, and it was probably just like a throwaway thing to be like, hey, he can stand up to his brother. But yeah, that's the kind of thing that I mean. That seems more like a long game, you know, to be like, okay, well, he was a jerk, but I'm going to find someone on the internet and then get them to come to the school and then point out my brother and then, you know, have all of this happen instead of just being like, oh, I'm going to, you know, whatever. So, I don't know.
So that's how it happened? That's how it went down? Because I was sitting there thinking, where does Cassidy go about finding transgender prostitutes in the first place? Where does he go about finding prostitutes, for that matter?
Well, we saw them looking on Mac's laptop.
Oh, that connects now. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. I mean, I don't like actively hate Cassidy, but I feel like there's something going on with him that we don't know, and I'm just not totally on board with his character.
He's a little bit too, what's a good word for it? Sociopathic for my tastes.
He seems very devious.
Because he has very little care to the downfall of others. It's because he's been bullied all his life. That makes sense. But he definitely would be Voldemort and kill the small animals in the cave as a young child. Like, that's why No. Not murdering. I know he's not, like, you know, to the equivalent of Voldemort, but I could see him growing up to be a greater evil, to doing something worse because he's been bullied all his life, you know? That's why I feel like he's sociopathic. I don't even know now if I believe his feelings towards Mac, because I've labeled him as so.
Come on, Mitch. Sociopaths aren't capable of positive emotions or affection toward anyone, and he obviously, all his these negative things he've done have been towards people who have tormented him, towards people who have, you know, who haven't done anything to him. He's totally fine, or
oh yeah,
whatever, like that. He's not sociopathic in the least.
He's not a sociopath, but that is a good point, Mitch, and maybe his entire point is to be like the, you know, downtrodden, bullied character. And then basically, if you're that character, you have two ways to go. You can either, you know, grow to be this like horrible person who was responding to all the treatment that they had when they were younger.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I mean, he's kind of that way, like Caitlin said, towards the people that tormented him now. He's pretty ruthless against those people.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
that's where I'm seeing his sociopathism, but right, that makes sense. It makes sense how he's not like that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, there's another way that that character usually goes in, you know, in storytelling, which is that they grow to be this like wonderful person who's like, well, I was treated horribly and, you know, I'm never going to do that to anyone else. And at the moment, I feel like he's, I guess, kind of in the middle.
He's figuring it out. Yeah.
Personally, I feel like he's moving more towards that sort of responding to his treatment side where he becomes like a more ruthless person. But he could definitely still go the other direction. I mean, I don't think we know at this point, but well, that's kind of how I see his character going, if that makes sense.
I agree. And that relates a lot to the Disney movie Meet the Robinsons, because the whole plot is about how you treat someone as a child, and it would I don't know, butterfly effects into two ways, and you're absolutely nail on the head correct about it making you extremely evil or a benevolent person, so you make sure that people aren't bullies like you. Like, I mean, I guess like Harry Potter was bullied as a younger kid by the Dursleys, so he grew up to be a very benevolent person. So those are probably the best two examples I could think of, you know, like Goob from the Meet the Robinsons was bullied and turned evil when Harry was bullied and turned nice, right?
Right. Well, it's like Voldemort versus Harry.
Yeah. That's much easier because it's the same series.
Because I don't know Meet the Robinsons, so I can't see that parallel. But yeah.
Oh, I think it's even stronger than Voldemort, to tell you the truth, because it's more explicit that he was just bullied and that's what made him bad, you know? It wasn't like he was born evil. It was just that it was nurture, not the nature, that made him evil. So that's why I feel like it relates a lot to what's going on with Cassidy.
I think Cassidy needs more positive influences in his life, and I think Matt could be that, because we've seen that she's not afraid to stand up to Veronica and call her on her crap. So I think she can take care of herself if anything is sketchy there, but she can be a positive influence that could help Cassidy lean towards the more positive outlet of his frustrations. And I don't know why I'm defending Cassidy so much, because I didn't realize I had that many feelings about him until this very moment.
There was a slowly built up. He like slowly became more important. We're like, oh my god, wait, we should probably care more about him. Oh, what's going on?
Well, I do know someone that you do have a lot of positive or just feelings towards in general, and yes. I just want to talk about Weevil really quickly. Because Weevil has now been kicked out of his biker gang, and he shows up at this carnival with his niece. And if you notice, he has scruff all over his head. Like, he's no longer shiny bald. He's got just like scruff all over his face. And I don't know, it makes me not pity him, but I feel really bad for him.
He had to take the bus.
Yeah. It was really sad to see him without his jacket. That's what I was like, oh, Weevil, you poor thing. I don't know why. I didn't feel like that before, but now I feel bad for him. It's kind of like a kicked puppy.
Exactly. But do we kind of like him better without the PCHers, or is it kind of still too soon to tell? Do you have any feelings at all?
Well, he's becoming more resourceful, as is evident from his ability to steal the money by using his little cousin. Before, he would have done something criminal with his gang members, but now he's going to use his family members, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I just wanted to bring it up because I know how much Caitlin especially loves Weevil. Or he's part of her bro TP.
I'll be intrigued to see, you know, just how he is more and more without that group behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously now he has to spend more time with his bro, so I'm totally cool with that.
All right, we have a few more players in this kind of case of the week thing, and one of them was Madison Sinclair. She's always around somehow. That's pretty much the general reaction towards her. Was she interesting to anyone at all in this episode, or justified in anything that she may or may not have done?
I legitimately forget that she exists between every time we see her. And then when she comes back, I'm like, oh yeah, that bitch. And then when she goes away, I like don't even, if you ask me to name the characters in Veronica Mars, like she wouldn't even cross my mind. She's such a nothing character.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And I can't believe that we had another instance where a copier punch-in code was going to be the final clue. That's already happened with Madison St. Clair when Jane Lynch was on that episode. So why was that happening again? I was just like, wait, are they really going to do the same thing with Madison? Is she going to be the culprit because she punched in her code and that's how she got caught again? Does this woman learn nothing? Thank God it wasn't her, but still, it was very stale. I was just like, are you kidding me? That's it?
Yeah, a little overused.
Totally. Like, why would you ever use that same plot again? There's so many other ways you could have gone. So they set up so many different ways. I just don't get. Come on. Come on, Veronica Mars, the TV show.
I totally forgot that they already used that, so it really didn't bother me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just remember because it was Jane Lynch, and it was just stuck out my mind because of that.
Oh, yeah. That does make sense.
Yeah. I mean, Glee chat and all that, you know.
Yeah. Plug. You know. That's what I was just going to say. Total plug. And I guess the last character in this whole fair kind of thing is Wallace. And when he shows up at the dunk tank, I don't know about you, but at first I was really unsure what he was trying to do, if he was trying to get Jackie into the water. But did you like that he was like just completely sort of missing the mark and helping Jackie a little bit? You like that he's softening towards her again, or you don't really care?
No, I thought that was honorable of him. And the only thing unhonorable about that was the fact that he was hitting cars, most likely breaking windows and denting them, and giving no care about them. Like, he set off multiple car alarms with those, and everyone's like, oh, give him another one. And then it was like his third one before they stopped him. I was like, guys, he's probably costing like thousands of dollars in damage right now, and you're just letting him deliberately toss balls over the fence. I was like, okay.
The O-Niners can pay for it.
Yeah, who cares?
It'll get, maybe one of those cars was Logan's, and that'll give him an excuse to brew TP with Weevil at his car garage.
Yeah, there you go. Since you mentioned Logan, let's talk about Logan.
Yes, he wants a blue tongue this episode, doesn't he?
He what?
He wants a blue tongue this episode, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That was so cute.
So he goes after this little innocent girl. Did you find it creepy at any point, or like just kind of weird, or were you totally okay with him looking for someone else who wasn't Veronica?
It seemed so random, because I was just like, who is this girl? Like, you have to be very special, I feel like, in some way, shape, or form to catch Logan's attention. And she seemed very plain and just kind of there. So it's like, what is going on? And then when we get to the reveal, I'm like, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah, you're like, gotcha. I knew you were going after a random girl, Logan, so we knew there had to be more of a reason. Exactly my thoughts, though, Caitlin, too. I agree. I thought that it was extremely random that he would go after a girl that has never been introduced ever before, but I'm just glad it got explained away, because I was going to be pretty pissed off if we didn't have a good explanation for why he randomly started shipping, other than for the purpose of shipping hot teens together. I don't know.
She really reminded me. No.
No, I still don't like him.
Yeah, I know
very unpopular opinion.
you're very adamant about not liking Logan. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it yet. I feel like this entire story arc proves exactly why I don't like him. Also, as a side note, there are too many white blonde girls on this show.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Every time they introduce a new love interest, and I get it was like, you know, Meg was like the new Veronica for Duncan, and then this girl was like the new Veronica for Logan, even though obviously like it was explained away, and then Lily, and then Wallace's new girlfriend, and it's like, seriously? Just, it's very frustrating to me. But yeah, just a minor point.
Yeah, no, there are so many. Too.
Right, but I mean, I feel like that that makes sense with, you know, Duncan and Logan. To be like, yeah, well, obviously they would go for these like people in their social class who maybe that is the right appearance. But every time they introduce a new character who is like a recurring character, Jackie and Wallace being like the notable exceptions, well, Jackie really, because we had Wallace at the start, they're always white and blonde, you know,
Well, while we're talking relationships and race, I think that there's an important note in that Wallace finally had a Caucasian girlfriend. It took him too long to have that happen. But interracial couples, I don't find them happening too often in Veronica Mars. And maybe that's supposed to be a testament to the Weevil-Lily storyline, that that's something that doesn't happen in Neptune. But I don't know. I'm in between whether I'm following that stigma because that's part of the storyline or because that's what works with the demographic watching this TV show. Something about interracial couples not being as attractive or something. Because I want more. I think that they're more, quite frankly, interesting. And I think that there's more to be learned and more dynamics when there are people of, I don't know, not even two different sides of the tracks, but just two different ethnicities or cultures that can date, you know? So what do you guys think about Wallace and his first Caucasian girlfriend, I suppose?
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I mean, just going back slightly, I really like Veronica Mars, but I do feel like there are some problems with representation on this show, mm-hmm. With both like gender and race. So, and like you said, that's probably meant to be a reflection of kind of the class warfare, etc., that is happening in Neptune. But when you have a storyline that isn't so tied into that, it feels more noticeable that it's not there. So I liked that, you know, Wallace was, and I also liked that they didn't point it out, it wasn't a big deal. It was just that Wallace was dating this girl. What is her name? I cannot remember it for the life of me.
She was she showed him one scene, right? That's all she had?
Yeah,
I mean, she's been around a few times, but I don't remember what her name is.
No. Yeah.
Did they even give a name? Didn't he say something like, I'm with my special friend or my special lady or something?
With my special lady tonight. I was like, go Wallace, you go Wallace.
Maybe the actress got paid less if she went as an unnamed character.
Unnamed.
I wonder what her IMDb page lists her as.
She may have been named back in the episode where I believe we first meet her when Becky's car gets damaged, and she was one of the people who Wallace was going after, and they realized she was in crutches or something. I think it was her, and she may have been named then, but it hasn't really.
Oh, there was a guy helping her get her books into her car.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wallace flirted with her a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a setup there.
Oh, that's right.
Wow, was like a... Okay, that's a long game plan that they did that. Another point I wanted to make up while we're talking about this was... still back with race and relationships, with how there always seems to be a pairing on Veronica Mars of people of the same race together, and in particular with Wallace when he was with Georgia. I was very upset by that storyline just because it made it seem like he was never interested in a girl up until the only black girl in town started talking to him. I was like, what? No, come on. And it just seems like unwarranted, their relationship. I don't know. It just seemed too convenient. And I'll give them Jackie, because Jackie's like more of like a developed character who he had to work his way into. But I just feel like, especially with Wallace, that they don't even like try to break the stigma of same race relationships. They're just like, yeah, they happen. That's it. That's all that there is. And I was just like, no, come on. Let Wallace just like explore people, not just like pair him with just Georgia or something. That was, I think, that upset me the most.
I really didn't notice that. It didn't bother me that much because that was it was within the first like 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, that was Gamer Girl, right?
What?
That was the Gamer Girl episode.
Yes. Okay, so maybe a little bit longer than 3. I don't know. It's just that one never bothered me, but I get the other ones.
Jackie.
That one, I don't know why, it just never bothered me. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's just something that I always pick up on shows, and I get excited when there's our shows. I guess, I'd say Glee's a really good example of how races tend to not matter as much in couples, and they kind of just go at it like, I guess, like bunnies when they feel like it, and they don't worry too much about race, because that's, I think, more representative of the 2000s. And Veronica Mars seems very stuck in like even like the 70s in that aspect. And that it sticks out like a sore thumb to me.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I wish I picked up on it more. I will try to be better with that, but I just haven't yet. But no, that's a really good point. That is just not there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that's pretty much everything for this episode. So before we move on to the next one, let's do our favorite scenes and favorite lines. My favorite scene is pretty much every scene with Weevil and his niece, especially the first one when he's kind of showing her what to do or where to go. I just think it's so endearing. And it's nice to see him with someone who's not a gang, someone he doesn't have to like put a front on for. So that was my favorite scene. Marima, what about you?
My favorite scene was definitely when Veronica was doing the reveal in the classroom with, you know, all of the suspects standing around. But instead of it being like, it was kind of like at the end of a normal murder mystery where everyone's in the same room and the detective is like, now I will solve the case. But I liked that they kind of twisted that and made it into this little magician act. I found that hilarious. So that entire scene.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Did feel like Agatha Christie.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed that anyway, and then they put this little twist on it, and I was like, that's very Veronica Mars of you.
Yeah, and especially because she was so, like, condescending or joking about the way she was saying it. Like, for my next trick as the mystery detective, you know, she just right. Totally was like, I'm going to slip on my, I don't know, whatever Sherlock has, like his hat and his pipe, and just go for it, you know? She was totally digging that character.
Yeah, I liked it. Caitlin, favorite scene?
My favorite scene was at the very end when Veronica approaches Weevil about his new car and stealing the money and the drugs, and just their relationship is so fascinating, and how they're at each other's throats and then there's friends again, and just I loved seeing their dynamic continue to play out.
They're so nice. They're like another bro TP almost, but not really, but close.
They kind of are. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see them dating, but they're definitely bro TP material. No, you're fine. Yes. So mine was when Jackie came out of the bathroom stall and Veronica suspected that she was stealing the money, or suspected. And Jackie came out and was super vulnerable and was just like, you know, explaining how she got in there. And I felt for her. And that's, like I was saying before, the moment that I felt Jackie fleshed out.
That's a terrible joke.
It is. It's a horrible joke. I didn't even mean it for it to be terrible. A joke the first time. It was just a poor choice of words.
I liked it, though. It was good. Oh, gosh. Okay. Favorite lines. Mine is from Veronica. When accused of stealing the cash box, she says, "It's a metal box this big. Where exactly do you think I hid it?" And she kind of points to herself, her small stature, and small and short stature, and it just makes me giggle every time.
It's cute.
Yes, it is. Marima, favorite line?
My favorite was actually one of Jackie's lines, which I never thought would happen in a million years. And it was when Mrs. Hauser and the others were like, "She's been lurking around here. She's been lurking the whole time." And Jackie's like, "Lurking? You mean standing while black?"
Yes.
Which I thought was like
so good.
Summed up like so many of the, I mean, in that way, Veronica Mars can be very self-aware. And I really enjoyed them pointing that out. And I feel like that is a, that line could be applicable to many situations. So I really liked her sass in that moment.
Yes.
Oh, that was fabulous. Oh.
You don't hear it enough. We should hear that more often.
Standing while black.
So true. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it was great.
Caitlin, favorite line.
Mine was during the carnival when Logan comes up to the icy stand that Veronica's running, and Veronica says, "What's your poison?" And Logan says, "Emotionally unavailable women," which was great. And he goes, "Let's see, I want something that suits my mood." And Veronica replies, "Oh, I'm sorry, we're all out of liquid evil." Feisty!
Zing!
I'm starting to OTP them now, actually, after that scene. I have to. I'm thinking back, and I'm just like, they still have that chemistry going, despite all they've been through. Now that Duncan's out of the picture, thank God. Maybe they'll get back together in season 3, or the end of season 2.
Their banter is so great. I just love them. They're just snipping at each other all the time. It's so great.
I just can't get over I can't get over the fact that Logan was meant to be a side character that was going to be written off after like a couple episodes, or not written in, I guess, that he was going to be just, I don't know. It felt like he was set up from the beginning, quite frankly. So it's funny that they didn't start writing him in more you know, come like episode four. I'm only saying that because of Veronica's voiceover in episode one of season one, where she's like, every town has their psycho whatever. And they continuously played that little thing for previously on Veronica Mars for a couple episodes. Like, it was important. So that's why I'm really happy that they chose to keep that boy around. And despite Marma's distaste for him, I feel like there's something that he does that's good for Veronica, if not for good one-liners.
I think their banter together is fine. I just think that Logan is a crap, like, person. And so I wouldn't wish him on anyone, let alone Veronica, who I actually like.
See, I think Veronica's kind of a crap person, so it works.
Yes, yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, throwing the scum together, if you had to, like, find a way, but it seems a lot harsher than I mean it.
I disagree. maybe Logan will grow in me, but that whole, like, bad boy thing is not enough for me to be like, cool, I'm on Team Logan. You know, hasn't shown me anything to get me on side with him, really. Even when they showed the, like, abuse storyline with his father, I was like, it's not really that, like, yeah, I feel bad for him, of course, but that doesn't excuse his actions. So for me, he hasn't been redeemed in that way. And I feel like their relationship was, like, a pretty toxic relationship in a way. So, you know, I don't really buy into that whole thing about, like, that's often portrayed in like the media and on TV and et cetera, where, you know, the most passionate relationship or the most volatile relationship is it's true love or it's the best relationship. Like, no, I think that's just a bad relationship. So,
hey, Arnold.
Anyway.
Right. Where were we? Oh, Mitch, your favorite line, please.
Dick, I'm so good at this game, bro. Logan, shooting in a clown's mouth. Your future's bright, Dick.
I love Dick.
I just like his stupidity and just how Logan's just like, you know, you're really simple. He's like, tja.
Yeah.
He's playing his volleyball boob game or whatever. Oh, God.
Hey, that's all he has. Leave him alone.
No, it's fun. I'm loving it. I'm just like, if that's what he does for fun and it's harmless, it's not doing anything to anyone else, he just kind of like cruises most of the time. And then every once in a while, he tries to step on someone like Cassidy. And even though I think Cassidy's our big bad somewhere in this game plan, I think that when Dick's not being a bully, he's likable.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. So let's transition into episode 14, Versatile Toppings. Here's a quick synopsis for those of you who may not remember what happened. Veronica and Dick banter as he's teased by Lucas Grabeel, a.k.a. Kelly Cusio, and another baseball player about the prostitute. Logan and Hannah share a stolen moment at school as he ignores her with her friends. Veronica solves the case of the pizza boy muggings, pointing to a wannabe PCHer, Arturo, and finds out who was harassing the closeted gays and lesbians at Neptune. Hint, it was Kylie, who really wanted to out her girlfriend and be out and proud at school. Logan apologizes to Hannah, saying he wants to protect her and has a date night at her house. Dr. Griffiths confronts him, and it's clear that it's on. In the end, Logan convinces Hannah that her father is a cokehead, a Fitzpatrick laggy, and lied about the bridge. The two become official at school, and Veronica puts the clues together. Keith almost proves that Terrence was in the casino when the bus crash call was made, but Veronica finds explosives in its expensive car's hangar when she goes to a basketball game with Jackie. So a little bit more going on in this episode. And since we started the last one off talking about Jackie, let's kind of talk about her a little bit more now. Do we like the budding friendship between Veronica and Jackie? I mean, I know before we said her character wasn't fleshed out enough for us to necessarily like her as a character, but do we believe the relationship that's starting to happen between her and Veronica?
I think it makes sense for both the characters. I'm not particularly interested in watching it as a viewer, but I think they showed, especially in the last episode, that Jackie is quite a strong character. And, you know, I can see Veronica's attraction to being friends with someone like that. They seem like they do have things in common. And you know, I also think going back to that parallel, Veronica would see that she knows kind of the things that Jackie is going through, and obviously for different reasons, but she's been through something similar, so it would fit with her character to befriend her so that she's not by herself like Veronica was.
Yeah, I think that overall it's just kind of it's something I didn't expect, but I think I'm benefiting from it as a viewer, because it further fleshes out. It gives me a reason to like Jackie more, because if Veronica can trust her, there must be something good inside of her that I'm not seeing yet.
I'm all in favor of Veronica having more female friends, so...
Yeah, totally. She needs a good balance in life. She has way too much of one gender, and how can you have perspective in life if that's all you have?
Or just, you know, any friends, because she has about four. So.
Yeah. I mean, who are they at this point? It's Wallace, Mac...
Weevil?
Does Logan count? Logan? I don't know if I'd even count those last two. So she... Yeah,
Duncan...
She does need more friends.
He's not on the show anymore. Duncan has fled. Meg is dead. Like, friends list is, you know, it's not gone well for Veronica.
Her MySpace top five would be very three. Selective right now.
Did you really just reference MySpace?
I would love if they had that on Veronica Mars. They referenced MySpace one day, and they like had a fight about like top fives. It seemed really petty, but I just think it would work as a great period piece for it. Oh,
that's appropriate for the time period.
Yeah, it would take me back so much. If they can get like that licensing or whatever you would have to do to like be able to say the word MySpace and show it on TV. But that would be so cool if they did that. I think it would bring the viewer back really easily if they grew up with MySpace to that drama that surrounds online social media as it starts right when Veronica Mars was airing. Like 2005? Yeah, totally. It was all about MySpace. That was the social media ever.
It was.
That'd be fun.
It was the number one.
Mm-hmm.
So... when Veronica and Jackie are together, they pull into the hangar or whatever. What do you think of that hangar? it was given to Terrence from the mayor, I guess. He's the mayor now. Gabrielle has a question here that I think is interesting. Does it mean anything to anyone that it's not Terrence's originally?
Yes.
Is this like the mayor is going to be the bad guy like every season on Buffy? Is that what it's going? Because that's all I could think when I was watching this. I was like, oh, okay, I see where this is going. And then someone turns into a big monster and it's graduation day. Oh, no, wait, that's Buffy.
And the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, Caitlin gets my jokes.
I do.
I like when we're on the same episode as Caitlin.
All the Buffy references.
Yes.
I'll get there one day, I promise. One day.
This is my subliminal messaging for us to do Buffy on the next rewatchable.
I was about to say, now you're making me really want to do it even more, because you guys would be great super fans for it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
We have so many people wanting it, too.
Like half the staff on Hyperbole of Buffy super fans, so...
Guys, we're like stroking a big flame here by mentioning this as much as we are on Rewatchable. It's almost like we're signing the contract now to do Buffy. You know, you can't just tease the viewer this much and not give it. So
it's on the list to do.
It's on the list to do. And you know what? I mean, Rewatchable is forever. So who knows? We is it too much to say that before Rewatchable is done and we're all 90 years old and rickety and can't even turn on a computer anymore, that we will have done Buffy by then? Can we please promise that much?
Yes, it's safe to promise that. And we will do Angel along with it. So.
Wow, cool.
Yes.
And
I look forward to being a newbie for both of those.
Look at that, guys.
I'll be like the only person, but it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You're here to hear first. Rewatchable 34. They promised to do Buffy eventually.
Anyway, I mean, that is where they're going with this, right? Like, they're setting the mayor up to be the bad guy.
He has to be.
Yeah.
I feel like he doesn't have any other purpose on the show. They've shown way too much of him for him not really doing anything.
And he told Gia not to get on the bus.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was just.
It's kind of set up.
Yeah. But maybe it seems really obvious, though, so maybe there must be a twist to it somewhere.
I feel like I don't know what his motivation is yet. Like, it seems fairly obvious that they've set it up that he's the one behind it, but I don't know why yet.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like he is definitely involved in it, but maybe there is someone else he was working with, or like, or there's something else, like you said, to do with his motivation that is going to like be shocking, because as far as watching it, it seems pretty obvious, but maybe it's all red herrings. Who knows?
He was probably working that with the guy that I forgot his name that washed up on the beach.
Farley Moran?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes. Him. I imagine he was an accomplice.
Overall, the mayor is just way too smiley. There's something going on. He's like, you know what, Keith Mars? I'm going to do everything for you. I'm like, why?
Like Buffy!
I'm like, there's a catch. No one's just this nice, ever.
If he turns into a germaphobe, my head's just going to explode.
Yeah, I'll be done. I'll be done with this show. Anyway. Well,
you know what? Think back to our season one red herrings. Who was our biggest? Logan?
Duncan.
Duncan, and then later on Logan. Mm-hmm. But, to the last minute, I think Duncan was the biggest red herring, right? I don't know. Let's just say those two tied for red herring before.
I think in the first season, we had no way of knowing that it was Aaron until we got to the episode where it was revealed.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the rug was ripped from under your feet then? Do you feel like that was fair?
I think I predicted this on Rewatchable, but when we were doing it, I didn't think it was Duncan, because for that very reason, I thought it was too obvious.
So then it can't be the mayor.
So I thought it was going to be someone that we knew, but like for reasons that we didn't know yet. So I guess my head is telling me maybe that's something similar that's happening with this, where I think it's going to be the mayor right up to they reveal that it's like, you know, someone else.
You're saying they're trying to avoid the Scooby-Doo stigma where the one random suspicious character working the front desk at the hotel gives you a crackly laugh is not the bad guy.
See, I feel like, though, with the first season, they were trying to lay blame at the character's feet that they wanted you to think it was. And in this one, they're not really trying to lay the blame at the mayor's feet. They're trying to lay it at Terrence's feet.
Yeah.
So and I feel like if the mayor were a red herring, they would be trying to say the mayor did it. I feel like they're trying to tell, you know, Terrence is the red herring.
Well, I think there's a difference between what's the spoken red herring and what's the understood red herring. I think spoken red herring is Terrence, because that's what everyone on the show is talking about. But the understood red herring is definitely, for the more savvy viewer, is definitely the mayor. That's, if anyone was to feel like they knew what was going on, they'd say it's the mayor. They're going to be wrong. But that, you see what I'm talking about? Like, there's meant to be two, I think, at this point on purpose, so it's not so stale with all Terrence. You know, they want to keep that more savvy viewer more interested right now.
Yeah, well, at the moment, I definitely think the mayor is involved in some way, and I don't think that Terrence is involved.
I concur.
But I don't think mayor's ultimate evil.
I don't know why yet.
Cassidy's the ultimate evil, and we've picked it out.
Yeah, Cassidy did it.
He's the biggest of all the big bads. He's the one controlling Aaron Eccles. Oh, God, I'll stop there.
Oh, boy. Big
bad. Mitch is about Cassidy like Kyle is about Shepherd Book in our Firefly rewatchable.
hey, come on. Aaron Eccles does have an outside man that really had the whole thing going on with Curly, and that could be anyone. And if we're only looking at characters that have the tiniest bit of suspicion thrown on them, but that could be the reason that they're it. I think that's Cassidy. So what reason would Cassidy have against Veronica to write her name on the hand of Curly? Can you guys think of one? If anything, that's the only thing I can see that would give credence to Cassidy being the big bad.
I mean, I don't really think it was Cassidy. I mean, Caitlin will understand. This is going to be another Buffy reference for you. But to me, Cassidy is more like the Jonathan of Veronica Mars.
Yes.
See that? Yeah. So, I was saying before, the way I could see his character going, not going to spoil it, but some of his episodes on Buffy, so Buffy fans will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way that I could see his character going, more than like him sending a boss off a cliff. But, you know, maybe he's just open to all things. Who knows?
He's open to all things.
Yeah.
You know, like murdering. That's fine. You know.
You gotta be open to it, I guess. I don't know. All right. So let's move to the deal with Logan and the girl. Disclaimer, forgot, or like I had no idea what the significance of her dad was in the last episode. And it took me to the confrontation between Logan and Griffiths, like in his house, to figure out who he was. I completely forgot.
I had to look it up.
Thank you. Okay.
I thought he was just like an angry dad. I had no idea. I could not remember.
No, not at all. I'm really glad I'm not the only one. Like, I just didn't. I never jumped there. I just thought it was Logan going after some, like, version one of Veronica or something.
And
it
version was 10 of Veronica.
Right. That's exactly what I thought. And I didn't look it up, but I watched the episodes, like, back to back. So as soon as I saw it in this, I was like, well, that makes sense. And that also makes this a bit more interesting.
Exactly. Okay. I'm glad we're sort of on the same page, because I felt really weird that I didn't know that. I don't know how I feel about Logan threatening Griffiths through Hannah. I mean, that considering her parents' relationship isn't that great, and it doesn't look like he's maybe one of the best fathers, I don't know if that would be the best way to get to him. I don't know. What do you feel about Logan's idea or his plan?
Logan sucks. I hate Logan.
I love Logan, and I hate this story.
Good. I'm glad. If you were going to defend this, we were going to have words.
I have no defense for this. I think it's really awful and manipulative and kind of gross.
Yeah, but he might like Hannah for real. I don't know. I was convinced that he did, which complicated it more because there's a million storylines that are going to fit there. I'm not going to try and compare it to another, but basically just the typical storyline of you're the secret spy. Or what is How to Lose a Guy in 50 Dates or something? Or 10 Dates?
In 10 Days.
There you go. 10 Days. Perfect example. You end up liking the guy when you're supposed to do something evil to him, or in this case, the girl for Hannah. So I think that that could relate to what's happening here, because I think it's just It's a typical thing used in any kind of media, and I think that it would work to complicate it. It may seem like an easy way out, but it's, I guess, better than the cookie cutter. He's just evil all the way, and Hannah's going to find out eventually. Deal.
More his face when he was waiting outside of her class made me kind of pause a little bit, because she wasn't looking at him, so he had no reason to be to putting act up a front, and he genuinely looked concerned. So, like, well, so maybe there's something there, but I don't.
Well, then that brings me back to the way Veronica Mars handles that. I don't know the proper mystery term for it, but when Veronica was crying in her bedroom all alone at all hours to convince her dad, and I was like, oh, she really looks sad. And then you guys were like, oh, it's because she really is sad, because she really has to, you know, send Duncan off. But to me, that's why I feel like you're right, Caitlin. That Veronica Mars doesn't just throw us for a loop and say, look, even when no one's watching, he still cares about Hannah. No, that's him really still caring about her. And that's where I agree with you. That's what's going to show his ultimate feelings for her.
I think, yeah, I don't think he necessarily cares about her as like a potential girlfriend. I think it's more of like what we were saying about Cassidy before, how he didn't break Veronica. It's more of like a human thing. Like, you feel bad for this character because of what she discovered or because of what's going on, not necessarily because he likes her in that way. That's how I kind of saw it.
Yeah, and also, I never buy into on a TV show when, like, that whole thing where it's like, oh, well, no one can see them reacting, so why would they react this way? Because it's always for the benefit of the viewer. And I think that Gossip Girl has, like, ruined that for me, because without ruining the show, there are many scenes, once you know who the Gossip Girl is, once you know who they are, there are many scenes on the show that are just, like, that person reacting by themselves to things that they have obviously written. And it's like, dude, you wrote that. Why are you acting surprised in your bedroom by yourself? And it's cool, right? So that is, you know, the most ridiculous example. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, that's perfect. Oh, that's absolutely perfect.
I was a Gossip Girl person.
Is it silly that I didn't know?
I was a big Gossip Girl fan. So, I guess I always just see things like this that, you know, you're just not meant to think about it that much. It's just so the viewer can see, like, oh, look, they're concerned or whatever. But, I mean, this Logan sucks in this storyline. And Logan sucks generally, but even more so in this storyline. And also, for me, as a viewer, I am assuming that they're setting this up for Logan and Veronica to get back together. I figure that's the end game. And at least, you know, at some point, because they're still there's still like tension between them and they still have like the banter, etc. So that Hannah kind of seems like a placeholder in some ways for Veronica, and I really don't like that. I really don't like watching that. So, you know, especially because they make her like a similar looking character, which they didn't need to do. Could have made her a brunette, could have made her, you know, a different ethnicity, but they didn't. So
how about gasp, like, Asian? We've never seen a single person. Right, exactly. Like, come on.
It's a very obvious casting decision that they've made there, and I don't like it. So I'm like not at all on board with this storyline.
I agree. Yeah, it bothers me, and I don't think the best way of getting to what Logan wants is by going through this girl.
Who knows what his ultimate plan is, though? Because, like Marma was saying, this could be like Gossip Girl. You know, the Gossip Girl could be reacting on his own just for the benefit of the viewer. I'd be disappointed if that happened because I'm assuming you were really upset about that, Marma.
About who was Gossip Girl? I was so mad.
Because that's garbage. I mean, that's like, I'm sure.
It doesn't make any sense.
Or like on Pretty Little Liars, whenever once in a while, one of the main characters turns out to be part of the evil group, and it's just like, no, I saw you alone reacting. Oh, yeah, I hate that stuff.
Yeah,
it's everywhere. That's everywhere. Oh, and for one last example, probably the worst example of all, is Now You See Me. I won't spoil it. I won't spoil it, but if you guys ever watch that movie, you'll think back to this episode of Rewatchable, and you'll be like, oh, God, they were right. It is like Gossip Girl.
I love it. All right.
I'll remember that. Let me see. The next thing that we have to talk about really quickly is more about Dick. And I, for one, liked the increased Veronica-Dick-type banter. I don't know. I mean, sometimes it feels like Dick can be on her level without even knowing it, almost. I don't know. What do you think about that? And do you feel sorry for him at all when he just gets completely reamed out by Veronica?
Nope.
Yeah. Not at all.
Even a little bit.
He doesn't even notice. He feel like Dick
doesn't care that much either. He just bounces back.
Cool.
He's like, whatever. I forgot this conversation even happened. Like, next thing that's happening in my life. I really enjoy him as a character. I find him very refreshing.
Yeah.
Like, because he's totally upfront about his douchiness, and that's fine. Like, that's totally fine.
Totally. That's why exactly I love him too. I agree. You've totally defined it, Marma. I agree.
And there's no way there's anything deeper under there. So that's what you got.
Certainly not.
Yeah, no, it's nice to just see characters that are upfront about what they are. They're not going to try and lie and be like, oh, I'm such a nice person, Cassidy.
All right, calm down.
All right, so speaking of being upfront, we have Mac, and she's also a very upfront character. And I think in this episode, we see her acting as sort of like a moral standard almost to what other people are doing. Like when Veronica goes to investigate who uses the website, the chat room, and Mac just completely defends giving anything to her, like, because she's not swayed by anything that Veronica says. Do we like that in Mac's character, or do we think that makes for an interesting dynamic between her and, let's say, Veronica?
I love it.
Yes.
Necessary, definitely. I really love Mac as a character. I think she's fantastic. And episodes like this, even when she doesn't have heaps to do, like, just make that even more so.
Yep, totally. Yeah. Agreed. And I think that it's just excellent to all extents that Mac stuck around and had little bit important stuff. Like just Marma was saying, you know, she doesn't have a lot to do, but when she does come around, it means something.
Yeah, she's just not like a throwaway.
And like when she calls Veronica on her crap, like enough people don't do that, and she's just does it without concern. I like that there's Veronica, someone like that in her life to do that.
Yeah, she just looks at Veronica and she's like, really, do you need to do that? Or do you really think I'm going to give in to that? I'm not that dumb.
Yeah, and I also like that there is another intelligent female on this show, because Veronica is kind of it. At this point, and you know, that's
main character, I should say.
Like, as in characters that get some screen time. So
yeah, like on like Wallace's mom, for instance, or
right. So she's fine, but like, it's all well and good for Veronica to always be the one who's saving the day and etc. But I like that there are things Veronica can't do that Mac can do, like, you know, all the tech stuff. And I like that Mac gives a different perspective that Veronica can't see, because, you know, she's sometimes so blinded by her desire to like solve the case and get things done and know what's happening. And Mac's like, just hold up a second.
Yeah.
And I really, yeah, I really enjoyed their dynamic. I think that's, yeah, it's a really good portrayal of a female friendship between
and the two. And to Veronica, to Veronica's credit, she listens too. Like, Mac could be saying things, whatever she says. If Veronica didn't listen, it wouldn't matter. But I appreciate that Veronica respects Mac enough to listen when she's being called out.
Exactly. And they respect each other, and they don't talk about boys. They talk about like other things, and there's competitiveness between them. So I think that's fantastic.
And I think that's especially important in the subject matter of this episode. I think it was really important to have Mac around as that moral structure almost, because dealing with these people who are being ostracized and criticized for who they are, I think it took a really, Veronica would not have been able to do it by herself, because Veronica's manner in dealing with it would have been too much of like brute force, I feel. Because it's just, it's a touchy subject matter. I don't know.
To a certain extent, she's like Katniss from the Hunger Games, because if you think to Catching Fire, where I just watched the movie, so when Haymitch is like, yes, you, a needle against the Capitol, that's why we don't let you make the plans, because she needs someone to like sit her down and be like, this isn't logical, you need to not go with brute force, you have to like slowly ease your way into it,
or it's not the best way to do this or to get what you
don't just kick down the front door, like, you know, hack into the front door, I guess.
Yeah. So that being said, did you guys like this case of the week?
Ugh.
No.
It was really convoluted.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, it was.
And because it was ended up being two completely different things that were tied together, it felt like a mess. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, like, why was the young PCHer trying to prove his gang cred important? I don't understand why that had to happen in the middle of all this gay and lesbian stuff that was thrown into it. Just it felt like way two different ends of the spectrum that didn't relate to each other whatsoever, that just happened to have the same storyline attached. It was just like silly.
Yeah, I agree that it was convoluted, and honestly, both of these episodes kind of felt like filler to me, to build up to the reveal at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as the subject matter goes, like, I enjoyed that it was like a gay lesbian case instead of being like a racial case. Like, that was nice for some diversity.
That was very 21st century of it, of Veronica Mars, for the first time, you know, as opposed to race, it's where it still seems to be stuck sometimes. It was more current, right?
Yeah, I mean, I liked that. I thought that. And also, it's set in a high school, so as if these issues don't come up, but, you know, it hasn't till this point. So I thought that was fine, but, yeah, it was kind of a meh storyline and plot and episode.
I didn't love the resolution either, because I just was so bothered that, what, Kylie was her name, like, was doing this to out her girlfriend. Like, that's horrible.
Yeah, well, you don't love someone if you're willing to ruin their life for your benefit. No.
She sucks.
That is not
that,
your
like,
place. Go away.
That,
she was greedy.
So totally.
Yeah. That character was like I enjoyed that character a lot up until that point, though, with the reveal. Because it felt like kind of a subversion of what you would expect, you know, you
a wouldn't lesbian expect to be. Her to be like,
you wouldn't expect her to be the lesbian character. So
she's the cheerleader, and she's pretty, and she talks girly, and, you know, whatever else.
Yeah, and I liked the moment when she, like, calls Veronica out on that, and is like, what, you don't think I look like a lesbian, or whatever, so...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that was fine, but the reveal was, like, she sucks then. And that girlfriend should be dumping her ass, because, like, this girl is insane. Yeah.
Does the girlfriend knows that Kylie was trying to out her, but the girlfriend is still with Kylie?
Well, they didn't show that they were still together after,
They held hands in the hallway, and that was it, right?
No, that was before.
I thought that was before.
Okay. So, yeah, Kylie was just going off to go tell her girlfriend, sorry, I'm a bit of a douche. When I mean a bit, I mean, like, I just ruined your life for my own benefit.
Yeah. And when they were holding hands, the other girl, like, her face, like, she had this really pained expression on her face when they were walking down the hall.
Oh, the girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just originally primed not to like this character because of the fact that it was Kristen Cavallari, who I just want to punch in the face all the time. I didn't even watch Laguna Beach, which is where she's from. Oh. But this came out about the same time as when, like, all of the people who were on Laguna Beach were trying to do something else. And so one of the actors went to Wintry Hill and she came here just for, like, this episode. And she just bugs me. And I get enough of her from, like, living in Chicago. I can't get away from her and Jay Cutler. So I'm so sick of hearing her name and, like, seeing her face that I just automatically, even though I forgot what the resolution was, I just automatically did not like her.
I don't know who Kristen Cavallari is.
No, me neither.
She is. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. There was a show on MTV. Oh God. I want to say maybe 10 years ago. That makes me feel really old, but it was as popular, I think, as The Jersey Shore. And it was basically a show that followed all of these rich California kids around. And they were in high school. And she was one of the main people. And she was, like, the popular girl. And she was just so always whining or doing something. I don't know. She was kind of bitchy. And so
it was all like of a my real, friends... It was a reality show. Was it, like, a drama?
Yes. Well, I mean... take the word reality lightly.
It was meant to represent reality.
But yeah, so I don't know. All of my friends watched it, or like people I knew, and so I just heard enough about it, and I saw like one or two episodes, and I want to punch her in the face. So it's fine.
Wow, I've never heard you this vehement against anything.
It's like it's not even. It's like I don't even care, but it's like violent and antipathy or something. I don't know. Whatever. Okay, so I was kind of, I didn't like that part of the case. I was just kind of okay with her character, and the way it ended up in the end was just obnoxious because there was no way that she would just get away with blackmailing people for her own benefit and then like her girlfriend being completely okay and she just being I guess I have to tell them now. It was kind of cheap for me.
Speaking of cheap, there's another storyline that messed up everything. It was Lucas Grabeel's thing where he was just like lying to benefit. He sold his rims, but he didn't want people to think that he was poor, so he had to do it via what looks like a theft, you know? So that was another thing that just made it messy and silly. I don't understand at all why his character even had a feature in this episode. It didn't flesh out the episode. That's the word of the day, apparently. It didn't flesh out the episode more. It just distracted us from Kylie. It should have been more focused on the people being affected by her, but not what those people were doing, I'd say. You know, it just branched out a little bit too far when it went into, I sold my rims so I can get money for, etc. That was just too much.
He sold the rims because he needed money because he was gay, right? Like, he was being blackmailed? Wasn't that the point?
I thought it was for, like, a sibling. No, I'm messing up.
No, but he
Lamb.
Was in the chat room.
He's in the chat room, but he wasn't one of those people that... what's her name was talking about? They're no. She licked a popsicle in a video.
Oh, she's like the coconuts.
Yes, the coconuts. So Lucas Grabeel is not one of these people who's like white on the inside because he's obviously like white all over. Mm-hmm. So he pretended to or something.
I know he pretended to get the room stolen. Like, that was pretty obvious when it happened, but I thought it was because he needed the money for the blackmail thing, but maybe I totally missed that.
He got one of the letters.
Yeah, I think he was being blackmailed.
So he's being blackmailed. I thought it was for something else. Maybe I'm messing it up. I think I might be messing it up.
No, because Veronica, like, calls him out and is like, why were you, you know, calling someone gay as if it's a bad thing? And he's like, why? Because I'm like secretly talking about myself.
Yes,
and
yeah.
He's like, because I want to survive. And I think that was the whole point of his character, was to be like, hey, it's not just, you know, just to show the spectrum, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the kind of cool guy with the expensive car, and it's the hot cheerleader, and it's like kind of the nerdy girl, and it's the pizza delivery boy. Like, it's everyone.
Right, and I think that I was just messing it up with Schmidt. I can't remember his name anymore. That's bad.
Nice, thank you.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I was messing it up because he wanted to send his sister to college with the money that he sold the tapes for to Logan.
I mean, you're right. Like, it was too much. There was too much stuff going on in this. And like I said before, I think it was all just filler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think it could have been better than it was. I think there were too many, like, in a lot of cases, you have the misdirection. Like, oh, it's leading you towards one thing and then it's not. And I think the ones in this were just too convoluted and unnecessary, and they kind of took away from the story.
I just thought of a way this could relate and be important to everything about the bus crash, because the almost boyfriend of someone in the bus crash was the one that introduced us to this pirate ship website. Mm-hmm. Remember? The guy who was doing the radio show with Butters was the almost boyfriend of someone who died in a car crash. In the bus crash?
Yeah, the guy who was...
So that's why it might be important. Maybe only to keep that boyfriend relevant, to keep him in the mix, if anything. Or maybe this pirate ship thing's going to relate more to... No, it can't. To the bus crash? I don't know. I'm trying to find relevance in it. It just isn't there. It's very filler.
Yeah, it's very filler.
It's just culturally relevant in general, but not to the specific story.
But where does it fit in Veronica Mars? It's very PSA because it's culturally relevant, but it doesn't fit within the story.
Right. I was going to say, it's not that the subject matter isn't important, but it's just the way that they played it was not very pertinent to anything.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that pretty much wraps up that episode, I think. I don't think there's really anything else in there that's worth discussing.
Well, what happens in the hangar? We see bombs or something. Well, Veronica does, but we don't see it, unfortunately. And I was like, come on!
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, I mean, we touched on the hangar already.
Yeah. But, like, are you guys angry that you didn't get to see it, too?
The bomb itself?
Yeah, because I was like, okay, if this is that big of a plot line, they should just show it to us so we can judge it for how it is, not just assume that Veronica was correct.
I've seen explosives before. I don't need to be hand-fed that. If she tells me they were explosives, I believe her.
Yeah, but it was just, like, explicitly not shown to us, which was, to me, either because there was something important that we couldn't see yet, or because they didn't have the budget to, like, make the props or something. I was like, what? That just, it's so random to not show that.
I think it's it was just meant to the next scene.
Yeah, it was just meant to be suspense.
Yeah, okay,
so
I'll take
that. What is it? Oh my god, is there a person in that cupboard? Like, what's happened?
Severed head.
I was actually about to say that, yeah.
I was expecting, like, pickled babies' heads inside jars or something, or, like...
Yeah, right, is it a severed head? Is it a Glee box set? Like, what are
It's that moving hand from Buffy, Marmo.
Oh my god.
You slay me. Doo-doo.
Rimshot.
I had to.
Okay.
Oh, God. This is way too much Buffy. You can never have enough Buffy.
Never.
Too much Buffy.
I don't even watch Buffy and I'm making Buffy references. God.
This is like Caitlin and I have hijacked this episode.
Totally fine.
Oh.
All right. So yes, the bomb, it's there, and we will find out more about it
dun, dun, dun.
Later. That's all I can really say. It's a really bad ending to that, but oh well. So let's do favorite scenes and favorite lines. My favorite scene is anything with Corny. Like Dick, he's just one of my favorite satellite characters.
I love it.
Well, I mean, Dick is getting to be more central because he's on a lot more, but before, he was sort of a satellite character, and Corny is one of those satellite characters that just makes me smile whenever he's on screen, just because he's so silly. But
his name is appropriate.
Yes, he is.
He's very corny.
He loves Veronica. He'll do anything for her. Like, he thinks she's the greatest, and I don't know. He's just cute.
Yeah.
So, Marima, favorite scene?
Yeah, I said mine before, but that scene between Kylie and Veronica in the bathroom when Kylie's like saying how she doesn't look like a lesbian or whatever, and just like Kylie's general like sass before she turns out to be a psycho bitch, I liked all of that.
Yeah. Caitlin, favorite scene.
We talked about this, but mine was the conversation between Veronica and Mac when Veronica asked Mac to help her get onto the pirate ship website, and Mac being the moral center of that relationship. I enjoy their, just like we talked about, I enjoy them as a as a duo.
Yeah. And Mitch.
Mine was when Logan and Hannah were snuggling on the couch and the dad comes in. As fabricated as it was, I could still relate to that moment because even if you're not doing anything dirty, when you're just snuggling on the couch with your significant other and your parent walks in, it's going to look suspicious. So you feel the need to kind of like straighten yourself out and make, you know, we're not having sex.
Oh, boy. All right. And then favorite lines. Mine is from Dick, and it is, "Hell yeah, no one's better. I'm what you call the master bait."
I heard that snap.
I tried to make it loud. There we go.
I was waiting for you to say it, then you just did it, and I was like, oh.
Isn't that corny, not Dick?
No, I think it was Dick.
No, that was totally corny. That was corny.
No, was it really?
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
I think it was corny.
Corny was the bait.
Yeah.
Corny was the bait.
How did I miss that?
Dick would not do that snapping thing. Like,
they're basically the same person.
Oh, no, it was corny. I wrote it down wrong. Why did I do that?
Well, I have one from Dick, if it makes you feel better.
Please.
We can eat that. Yes, mine is when he's basically listing all the terrible things that have happened to anyone that Veronica has dated. And he's like, "You're like rich dude kryptonite, Veronica," which I thought was fantastic, and basically just summarized all the events that have ever happened on this show.
Yeah, very lampshady too. Loved it.
Caitlin, favorite line?
The mine was at the end when Veronica and Jackie are going to the game and they pull into the hangar and Veronica's like, "Which one is Monday?" when she sees all the cars, and Jackie says, "You laugh, but he pretty much used to have one for every day of the month." And Veronica says, "Our lives are so similar. The Mars family hangar is a spitting image of this one." Just thought it was funny.
And yet he's still in financial debt. "Well, sell your cars, dude. You'll be fine."
Yeah, seriously.
Like, done. You're good. You don't have to be chased after by the Native Americans that are angry and scary and don't like to show security footage.
Yeah. Whatever. Mitch, favorite line?
Naturally, it was a Dick line. He's getting a lot of love in this episode, as he should. "Dude, why are lesbians, like, so pissed off all the time? Let your freak flag fly, ladies!" Veronica, "How progressive of you, Dick."
I like how you act out the lines that you choose.
Impressive.
Ever since I started podcasting, my thing is just like voices.
Such a theater kid.
Yeah. What was that?
You're such a theater kid.
Theater. That's like a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got it. It's like a performance, a podcast. It's not just a chat. Yeah. So that was fun because it was basically Veronica, you know, showing that just because you're like super supportive of those sexy lesbians isn't exactly cool. You have to like really like, not for a sexual reason, but for like a social reason, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. All right. So before we go, we just have two pieces of listener feedback for you. Mitch, do you want to take that first one right there?
Sure thing. This comes from Allie Dale, who wrote in that the album Veronica was listening to during her breakup wallowing was the soundtrack to The Virgin Suicides, which is a classic Sofia Coppola movie starring Kristen Dunst. It is a bit of a depressing movie, but a definite must-see, and the only Sofia Coppola movie I can actually tolerate. Good to know.
Good to know. I've actually been wanting to watch that one, so now I have more of a reason to do so.
It's a good movie.
Is it? That's what I've heard.
It's better than Marie Antoinette, which was rubbish, and The Bling Ring, which was hysterically terrible.
Oh, but what was that one where, like, the world was ending and she was depressed? Kristen Dunst?
Oh. Yeah, that was
Melancholia. I'm really all about Melancholia. That sold me on Kristen Dunst, so I might have to watch the Virgin Suicides now.
Yeah.
It's good.
What year is it? Is it an older movie?
Yeah.
Like, what, 2000?
Like 90s, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe
Maybe
90s.
2000. I'm really bad at years because I just forget like what year we're in.
So Kirsten Dunst is like
Yeah.
12 in that movie?
She's pretty young, yeah.
Wow. Oh, so like a young Dakota Fanning-ish?
Yeah.
Like War
Not
of the
that young.
Worlds kind of feel?
99. 99, yeah.
Oh, okay. So she's not as young as War of the Worlds, but you know, yeah, I get it.
No.
Cool. Yeah, I could dig some Kirsten Dunst way back when.
All right. And I'll do this second listener feedback. This is from Tanisha, and she says, I always assume that time to fake the donuts was a dig at Duncan not being able to satisfy Veronica sexually, especially since he seemed a bit bitter later on that they faked everything to get Duncan out of town. So that has to do with our discussion on the episode title, Donut Run, I believe, when Duncan skips town and leaves our lives forever.
I'm confused by the second sentence of that feedback when you read, especially since he seemed a bit bitter later on. Who's the he they're talking about?
I believe that they're talking about is Logan, because I believe he's the one who says time to fake the donuts in that episode. So I think
So,
they're talking about Logan being bitter, maybe.
bitter that everything was faked to get Duncan out of town.
I think so. I think so. Tanisha can correct us, but I
Oh.
think so. Yeah. Because I think it was taken out of context and I'd
Yeah.
have
It
to
was
go
a larger
searching for
feedback,
where
I
it was.
remember.
Yeah. I saw it. I just don't remember. But yes, so if you want to be like Allie Dale and Tanisha and contact us, please do. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at re underscore watchable. You can comment on this post on hypable.com. Leave us long comments, short comments, whatever you feel, jokes, criticisms, if you have any. Anything you feel like, we will read it and respond. And if you are also feeling up to it, please leave us a review on iTunes so that other people can discover us too. Please and thank you. I don't have an incentive for you this week because I haven't talked to Ariana in a few days, but we will have a good one for you next time, I promise. So yes, that's all we have for you today. So until then, I'm Danielle.
I'm Marima.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Mitch.
And we will see you later, Marshmallows. Have a good week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.